Good morning and welcome to our online service, St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church, for Sunday, July 19th. And this morning, sharing from you from our garden where the tomatoes are growing, along with the weeds and all that good stuff, enjoying the outdoors this summer. Hope you had a chance to download our worship service, order of service, and the bulletin for today. Lots of information there, along with the scripture readings, the songs, and prayers for you to follow along in our service. Perhaps you do know someone who doesn't have computer access. Encourage you to call the church office or send us an email to make sure that someone who doesn't have that access receives a snail mail of information along with printed copies of our messages. It's just our way of trying to keep in touch with folks. This past week was an exciting time for our annual vacation Bible camp, and this year the children were learning online how Jesus gives us the power to be thankful, to be helpful, and to be brave. They also learned how Jesus gives us the power to live forever and to share God's love. Special thank you to our volunteers who helped make that ministry possible, and also a special thank you to Marian Reimer-Friesen, who is coordinating together with our youth worker, Taya Hines. Just to note that yesterday, Pastor Nick began a four-week parental leave, and we wish him and his wife Megan a blessed time together with their young children Jubilee and Lucia. Very special time for them. During July and August, our sermon series is based on questions of faith and life, and today's question is something you've probably thought about driving around town. And as you see various church buildings, the question came to us, what do we do with the differences between churches? We can't all be right, can we? Good question. What do we do with differences between churches? We'll get to that a little bit later in the message, but right now I'd like you to think about that in two different ways. Recently, I was at the grocery store buying groceries for a friend of mine when on the list that he had given me was two jars of pickles. And pickles seems rather basic, ordinary, easy enough to do, and yet standing in the grocery aisle, from floor to ceiling, there were jars of pickles of all kinds. Did my friend want brand name pickles? Did he want garlic pickles, sweet pickles, bread and butter pickles, kosher pickles, tangy pickles, dill pickles, hot and zesty pickles? But they're all pickles. Did he want whole pickles, sliced pickles, hamburger sliced, baby pickles, or spear pickles? Did my friend want a large jar or a small jar? He didn't have a cell phone for me to call him and ask. So what kind of pickles did he want? Got the garlic ones, but it was only a guess. Here's another one. In the late 1970s, the Loblaw grocery store launched a new sales promotion of a brand of 16 products called No Name. The no-name products were promoted as basic products in plain packaging at down-to-earth low prices. And as a generic or unbranded items, no-name has yellow packaging with black print. Linda T., it's the blue ones, the low salt. That's the kind of chips. Anyway, from no-name. The launch of the no-name products was a runaway success. They managed to get advertising in such a way that the No Name brand quickly became one of the best-selling brands in all of Canada. No Name continues to be everyday products with sensible solutions to problems, with a sensible solution to rising prices. So I began to wonder, what if Christians could agree to live everyday faith with sensible solutions to the problems and challenges facing our friends and community? What if Christians could agree to live everyday faith? Would we be a no-name church? Just a thought. As we begin, I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, in these days of restrictions, new challenges of having to learn to live life differently, help us not to compete with one another, but to recognize the importance and need to be kind and gracious to one another. Help us to live out our faith as Christ forgave us, that we may be forgiving and loving towards others. Bless our time of thought and reflection this day. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. At a time when we can't sing together, one of the songs chosen for us this morning is actually called Together. And so I invite you to switch to the order of service, and you can either click online or follow the text. We'll be back shortly.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Thanks to Tommy for reading that scripture passage for us this morning. And now to get to our question, what do we do with differences between churches? Good question. The question is just as challenging as my being at the store trying to guess what kind of pickles my friend wanted. To select the right kind of pickles, or perhaps to figure out which church is the right one to attend, becomes a bit of a puzzle to unpack. In my work of helping people to record their life stories, I've discovered that certain common aspects of being human is something we all share. Yet we all have unique differences, and our differences have a story behind them. You didn't get here by coming from nowhere. You came from somewhere. As communities of faith, as individual churches, we have unique stories, just as each of us has unique stories and experiences of our lives. For example, as a child, our family lived for a while in the United States, and I have vague memories of attending a certain church, and also knew that my parents at one point decided to attend a different church. Later in life, I learned the background to the change. The change of churches occurred during the early stages of the Vietnam War. While deeply appreciating family friendships at the former church, my parents' faith convictions did not align with the pro-military emphasis of the church, so they sought out a different church which emphasized the call of Jesus for us to be peacemakers. This was a conviction that was very important to my parents. Differences between churches. As a teenager, I recall my mother's cautious concern. A friend I was spending time with was of Catholic background. At the time, my friend and I were not concerned or aware why our parents would make an issue over church differences. Later, when my wife and I first met, I recall trying to figure out her family background since her name was not one familiar to me, and it wasn't associated with the church circles that I had been part of. Later, I learned our families had different backgrounds, yet we shared the same faith convictions. Are differences between churches important? Along Linwell Road in North St. Catharines, where St. Catharines United Mennonite Church is located, there are 7 churches serving the neighborhoods and the wider community. In St. Catharines, north of the QEW, between the canal and Martindale Pond, there are some 30 different church communities, and most of them are of different church denominations. Why all the differences between churches? Why does each little gathering of Christians need to have a separate building with separate programs, separate leaders, all who claim allegiance to Jesus Christ, but who cannot agree to worship together? Good questions. In my introduction, I asked if Christians could agree to live everyday faith. Could we be a no-name church? You know, a Christian community focused on basic faith, down-to-earth content characterized by plain packaging, void of loud and flashy religious marketing promotions. Curious, I did some research and learned there actually is a no-name church denomination. As a home-based religious movement with beginnings in Ireland, no-name church is also known as two by twos. Interesting, while trying not to be a no-name church, like products at Loblaws, it is a brand name within itself. We all have a story to tell. We each have a unique background from which we have come, and we're not all the same. But we are not generic human beings. Brief history lesson. As a church community, St. Catharines United Mennonite Church has its roots in the Anabaptist tradition. When it comes to thinking about our relationship with God, when it comes to the shape and ideology of how we live out our lives, I describe St. Catharines United Mennonite Church as a community of Christians based in an Anabaptist theology. In his book, Anabaptist Essentials, pastor and educator Palmer Becker briefly describes some of the major influences in the Anabaptist way of relating to God. Becker begins with the Bible, and I summarize. For the early church, according to Acts chapter 2, the message was one of repentance and invitation to accept Jesus as the center of faith. For the first 250 years, Christians were seen as people who lived visibly new lives, in obedience to Jesus, whom they accepted as teacher, Savior, and Lord. According to the book of Acts, Christians were transformed people who met in each other's homes and shared freely of their possessions. During the next few centuries, many changes came to the Christian faith, that it began to look differently. 2 men became symbols of these major shifts, from original Christianity to Christendom. As emperor of the Roman Empire, Constantine claimed during a battle to have seen a vision of a cross with the Greek words above it saying, "In this sign, conquer." Constantine was victorious in battle. As a result, he stopped persecuting Christians. He then made the Christian faith to become the recognized religion of the Roman Empire. In addition to being emperor, Constantine then also became head of the church. With further military conquests, Constantine forced his subjects to become Christian. Even if they didn't want to be Christian, they became Christians. As a result, the church became occupied with the victories of the empire and lost its foundation of faith, looking to Jesus. During those first 250 years of the church, followers of Jesus were persecuted and worshipped in secret or under pressure. Under Christendom, ornate buildings were constructed and paid for by the government and church taxation. The Emperor Constantine changed the character of Christian faith. Previously, Christian believers focused on following Jesus in daily life. Under Constantine's influence, attention was given to religious doctrine, mystical experiences, and the forgiveness of sin. Good things, but different. The second man of major influence on the Christian church was a theologian, Augustine. Because of Augustine's teaching, church leaders began to focus more on Christ's death on the cross than on Jesus' life. A later theologian, Anselm, focused on the mystery of Christ's death for the sins of the world, rather than on Jesus as being a servant leader to be followed. The followers of Augustine and Anselm tended to say that Christ's death was the center of faith, which was a shift away from Jesus being the center of Christian faith. Whereas previously, new believers received training as followers of Jesus, they received baptism upon confession of faith and were committed to sharing with other believers. The influence of Augustine and Anselm was for individuals to be baptized at birth, as infants, and that all citizens, except Jews, were to be considered Christian. While the early Christians rejected the use of violence, particularly refusing military service, in Christendom of the Roman Empire, everyone was expected to serve in the military. That's how Becker explains the shift of changes in the early development of Christian churches. Now, there's a reason why churches identifying with the name Mennonite tend to meet in simplistic buildings that lack ornate artwork. There's a reason why Mennonites tend to avoid military service, political involvement, and state patriotism. There's a reason why Mennonites emphasize a decision for baptism upon confession of faith, a conscious decision, and a focus on following Jesus in daily life. There's a reason why Mennonites encourage reading of the Bible and asking questions of faith and life. Do Mennonites have the Christian faith all figured out while other churches don't? Of course not. Are other churches wrong? No, of course not. When the Christians at Corinth were debating who was right and who was wrong, the Apostle Paul said, "What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task." When it comes to different churches, we are not only servants through whom, when it comes to different churches, are we not only servants through whom others come to believe in the Lord Jesus? Recently, I found a concise summary of different church traditions in the writings of Brian Zann. Brian Zann says that each branch of Christianity has its own unique emphasis on Christ. The Orthodox give us Christ of glory, having beautiful icons and a high Christology. Catholics give us the suffering Christ, which is why the crucifix is prominent in Catholicism. Anglicans give us Christ the teacher, which is why so many theologians either come from the Anglican tradition or eventually find their home there. Protestants of various stripes give us the reforming Christ, the Jesus who challenges the Pharisees and cleanses the temple. Evangelicals give us the personal Jesus, the Jesus who calls his disciples by name and talks to Nicodemus about being born again. Pentecostals give us the miracle-working Jesus who heals the sick and casts out demons. With few Mennonite Anabaptists living in Missouri where Brian Zand lives, they don't get mentioned in his list. But I think he would say that Mennonites give us the reconciling Jesus, who work to make things right. Zand continues saying that each of these emphases have their own potential pitfall, the shortcomings. The Orthodox can lose sight of the humanity of Christ. Catholics can become rather morbid. Anglicans become too academic. Protestants become too divisive. Evangelicals can erode into a private sentimentality. Pentecostals can lead to an unhealthy obsession with sensationalism. Mennonites, they can slip into action in the absence of speaking about the faith. Brian Zand says the safeguard is obvious. We need the whole church to help us enter into the fullness of Christ. Here the Apostle Paul says we are co-workers in God's service. Each one should build with care. So, are we a no-name church? I believe we each have a unique history of life lived, just as God created each of us as unique individuals. Pickles don't become pickled by simply placing cucumbers in a jar. There are a variety of spices added in the jar is subjected to heat, cooking the cucumbers, creating the pickles with a distinctive flavor. We're not pickles, but I think you get the point. Unique experiences, unique spiritual longings, different influences, some political, some geographical, and much more, that shape and mold the religious expressions we hold dear. Did God not speak to me from a burning bush like God spoke to Moses? Did God call to me in the night like God called young Samuel? That doesn't make my experience with God any less or any more real. Did Jesus tell me to go fishing like he did Peter? Did Jesus speak to me from a blinding light like he did Paul? That doesn't make my experience with Jesus any more or any less real. If God is personal, and I believe God is, then God's wonderful creativity makes each of us unique, each with a story to tell of how Jesus is real in our lives. That's to be cherished. Our theology, our relationship with God is a story to tell, a story to be cherished, and a story to be lived out in the fullness of God. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, you call me to faith. You call my neighbors to faith. Some listen, some don't, but you call us through Jesus Christ. I pray your blessing on those who would seek to follow Christ, to be united with him in his life, in his suffering, in his joy, in his death, and in his resurrection. May I view my neighbors and churches down the street not as competitors, but as co-workers, those who share in the life of Jesus. Help me to stay focused, help me to stay true to the understandings that the Spirit has given me. Bless your people with peace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning, and if there's anything from this morning's message that you're curious about or you'd like to know more about Mennonites and their flavor of Christianity, check out our website, send me an email, the address is on the website. And now I share these words of blessing for you. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude and mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Go in peace. Amen.